Please be seated. When I was on sabbatical this summer, one of the things that I really wanted to do on my cross-country journey was to visit different churches. You see, as a priest, I don't get to go to church very much. That is, I don't get to just attend. And I wanted to go. I wanted to sit in the congregation. And wherever I might be on a particular Sunday, I would Google Episcopal churches and pick one to attend. And believe me, I have a number of stories I could tell from that. But there was one visit in particular that stood out more than all the others, and it was at St. James Episcopal Church in Taos, New Mexico. Frankly, St. James is the only Episcopal church in Taos, so I didn't really have much of a choice. But their website was inviting, and it used all the words that you would expect: friendly, inclusive, welcoming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. St. James Episcopal Church in Taos, New Mexico should be sued for false advertising. You see, on these visits, I didn't just want to go to church. I wanted to experience the whole thing. I wanted to experience everything with the hope of maybe learning something new. So I would go early. I wanted to experience their hospitality, their coffee hour, their building, how traffic flow went, their parking, just exactly what they did to be friendly and inclusive and welcoming. But in all my years of going to church, this was absolutely the most bizarre experience I've ever had. The entire time I was there, not one person, no one spoke a word to me. I went to coffee hour, and there wasn't a huge crowd, and I had to have stood out as a visitor. And I'll admit, I was still in the no-shave part of my sabbatical, so I was a little scruffy, but I had dressed nicely, and no one said a word to me. Even when the rector came into the parish hall during the coffee hour, he never even looked my way. Feeling very uncomfortable and having read everything I could on the bulletin board, I decided just to go ahead and enter the church, where the usher handed me a bulletin. But again, no words were spoken, and I took a seat. The service was a normal service, just like one of ours, and the sermon, I must say, was marginal, though. But there was quite a long list of prayers, and then it came time for the peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And not one single person said a word to me. Not one. Like I said, it was bizarre. The service graciously ended, and I walked toward the door, where I was met by the rector at the door, who said, "Hello." Nothing else. No, "Are you visiting with us today?" No introduction, nothing. I was confounded by the whole thing. I had noticed that the rector had seemed a little nervous during the service, and I thought, well, maybe he's a new priest, newly ordained, or something like that. So I went back to my hotel, and I again Googled St. James. They were still friendly, welcoming, and inclusive. But the priest wasn't new. He'd been there for several years and actually had been ordained longer than I had. The more I thought about this whole incident, and still trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, I came to the conclusion that maybe the rector was in some search process at another congregation somewhere, and maybe he thought I was a member of the search committee. That might not explain the parish's behavior, but it certainly could explain his. And then I moved on. I didn't give much more thought to it, just that it was bizarre. Now, I want you to hold on to that story because I'll get back to it in just a minute. Friendly, welcoming, inclusive, blah, blah, blah. That's who the people of St. James think they are. But the truth is, they were anything but. Are we recording this, Madge?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Which begs the question, though, who do we think we are? Unless you think this is some sermon about hospitality and being friendly, it's really not. That's not the point. It's a sermon about identity. Who we think we are shapes how we think, and especially how we act. And I think in today's gospel, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness asking that very question, struggling with his own identity, with who he thought he was and what it meant to be the Son of God. Now, the devil certainly thinks he knows, which is why he challenges Jesus over and over again on that point of identity. If you are the Son of God, he proclaims. The devil presents Jesus with the opportunity to define exactly what that means, what it means to be the Son of God. He's given the opportunity to win popularity by turning stones into bread. He's given the opportunity to achieve great power by worshiping the devil. He's given the opportunity to achieve great fame by throwing himself off the temple and surviving. Popularity, power, fame. If you think about it, more often than not, those are the very temptations that you and I fall victim to on a regular basis. But Jesus rejected these temptations because they were selfish, because they were self-serving and ultimately self-glorifying, and being centered on self is inconsistent with being the Christ, the Beloved, the Son of God, the one sent to save others. Who do we think we are? During those 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus struggled, I believe, with that question. And when he became clear about his identity, he came out of the wilderness and began to preach the kingdom of God and began to perform mighty acts. He became certain of who he was and was prepared to act and to behave and to live as a reflection of that identity. His path became clear. And during these 40 days of Lent, I believe we're called to do the same. As we focus on the identity of Jesus, we must ask ourselves some identity questions, individually and as a parish. Who am I? Who am I really? And what is God calling me to do? Because you see, it is only in asking those questions that we are equipped and empowered to follow that Christ. It is only in asking those questions that we can truly live life to the fullest, be who God intended us to be, and find that happiness, hope, and peace that seems to elude so many of us. Life is short, and there is no greater tragedy in life than failing to confront the difference between who we think we are and who we really are. Now, remember St. James in Taos? There's more to the story. 3 weeks ago, I attended a seminar in Jacksonville. It was a course of study that I had intended to begin over the next few years, but this opportunity came up. It was nearby, so I attended. My fellow attendees were from across the country and from a variety of denominations. One of the attendees was the rector of St. James Episcopal Church in Taos, New Mexico. I wondered if he recognized me. I wondered if he remembered my visit. I doubted it, but I wanted to say something to him. I wanted to tell him about my bizarre visit, but I couldn't. I couldn't because through introductions and group activities that we had during the week, it became apparent very quickly that this was a wounded and broken man. By now, he was the former rector of St. James Episcopal Church in Taos, New Mexico, having parted ways not long after I'd visited, which I guess now explains the nervousness that he had. He was looking for another church and working on an alpaca ranch. In writing his PhD on abusive parishes. You see, that's how he referred to St. James, an abusive parish. And sadly, there are such places, places that over and over again hire the same type rector only to beat them down till they can no longer function. And I know there are two sides to every story, but from a clergy person's perspective, it's always the parish's fault. But I found that I could no longer feel condescending toward this man, or the people of St. James for that matter. Instead, I felt sorry for them. So I didn't share the story of my visit. When the conference was over, though, everybody was gathering their stuff and packing their things, and this man was standing over to the side by himself. He looked lost, as if he didn't know where to go next. And I felt sorry for him. And I felt the need to go over to him and to tell the story of my visit privately, not for the sake of criticism, but to let him know that someone besides him had been witness to the dysfunction of that parish. I told him the story. He actually had recognized me, and he did remember my visit. "They think they are so friendly and welcoming," he said. "It's so sad not to be who you think you are." It's not only sad, my friends, it's a tragedy. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness struggling with the question of identity, struggling to discover what it meant to be the Son of God. Throughout these 40 days of Lent, I believe we are called to do the same. So the question confronts us all, and it truly is the question of our lifetimes. Just who do you think you are? God love you. Amen.